That is ESPN's Jeff Passan talking about the fact that the Cardinals don't have any all-star starters and don't have an obvious all-star. If every team did not need to be or wasn't required to be represented at the all-star game, the Cardinals might not have anybody. It's Fastlane on 101 ESPN. BT, Ronj, and Randy, 303. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. And the Cardinals will start their role tonight in San Diego. What do they have, 82 games left, 83, something like that?
Yeah, I think that tonight's game is game 81. I think that's right.
Oh, so they'll be at the midpoint of the season.
No, game number 80.
They'll, after tonight, they'll have 82 games left. I'm trying to think of their record. Do you think it'll be 70-12, or do you think it'll be more like 60-22?
Oh, how they finish? Oh, man.
You know what? Maybe it'll be right in the middle. Maybe that's what it's going to be. You know,
yeah, 65-27.
65 wins rest of the way.
Wait, Randy, that math didn't add up. How about 65-17?
65-17. There you
man,
go.
There you go. That's a 65. Well, that's a hell of a finish.
There you go.
Boys.
Dixie State College. Whoop.
Raise the roof.
No big deal.
I'm not counting on it, but they could start it tonight.
I love hearing you say raise the roof. I can't get past that. I'm sorry.
Have you noticed, by the way, and maybe it's just
the
extra weight that we were talking about, but Randy walks with almost a limp now.
He's got swag now.
I fell off a bike. Yeah.
Nah, but no, I think it's more pimping than that.
It's exactly what it is.
Because you... Yeah. Like a boss, that's right. Yeah, you had it as soon as you walked out of the ink spot. It was just like a certain...
You know how
he went to like straight to Kaiser Sosa.
he's stumbling out of the police station.
Yes.
And he's just, spoiler alert.
Oh, got the stride.
Yeah. No, he's got like that Michael Jordan strut now.
He does.
Since the tattoo.
How about that? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just part of the natural progression of things when you are when you get it applied.
Randy, where'd you park your hog? You still got a parking spot, or they give you a
different
one?
No, that's in the studio with us.
Oh, is there?
Vroom, vroom.
It's a different kind of biker bar. Anyway, what are we talking about? The Cardinals going on a run?
Yeah.
And, now would be a good time.
The fact that they don't have an all-star starter. Now, the conversation before the trade deadline is always about if the team is good enough to make a move that'll benefit them. But Passan talked about that with Bernie this morning.
Where exactly should they upgrade? How much exactly should they upgrade? And if they were to upgrade, would it be good enough? And that's the frustrating part of this. They're one of those teams that's a complete tweener. Like, you know, they're close. Hell, they're close enough to a good week can get them into first place because the Central is what the Central is. But at the same time, if you go out and trade for someone, there's certainly no guarantee of a playoff spot at this point.
They're two players away from being the dominant team in the National League.
Are they hitting 3-4?
Yeah, it's Ruth and Gehrig.
I was like, where are you going with this?
Damn, Randy's got an idea. Yeah. He thought this went through. Nope. No.
Actually, is Walter Johnson in there, too? He needs three.
Right. To Jeff Passan's point, I do believe that they add. Now we all know this. Things could go off the rails here in the next couple of weeks, and maybe it's like, it's not worth it to sacrifice prospects. I don't believe that's going to be the case, though. And where do they add, even though the offense is the issue currently? I believe they add a starter, and I believe they add at least one member in the bullpen. That's what I would do to bolster this ball club right now. I would add to an area of strength in the pen, and certainly you lost something big with Jordan Hicks. And we all know they still need a starter. So at least most of us believe they still need a starter.
Would you – I don't know if you were here, BT, the other day. I said – aside from, I would pick out three guys.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be these three, but for me, it'd be Gorman, Woodford, Dylan Carlson, and then all of my other prospects are fair game for trades.
I agree with that, and honestly, none of those things are off limits for me in the right deal.
Right.
If I get a guy that's controllable, as much as we love the ceiling of Nolan Gorman, and Randy, we were talking about this also, you have two other third base prospects that you like, in Nunez
Montero.
Montero. El Hervis Montero.
Good.
So I think in the right deal, I'd think about that too. Now, it has to be the right deal, and it certainly ain't for a rental player, but another guy, by the way, that I'd put on the list that I'd like to keep is, because I don't believe that anybody is close to an heir apparent, is Kisner.
Yeah,
I think I'd like to be able to keep him around just because. But I'm with you.
I look now, and I know this is a stupid way to look at it, and the Cardinals never would. But when you look at the last couple of guys that have had that incredible ceiling for the Cardinals, Oscar Tavares wasn't that good before he tragically passed away. And then you look at Reyes and what you wanted to get, what you expected to get out of those high-level guys, you didn't get for various reasons. And that's why, and I, like I said, I keep those three. And I think Kisner, that's a great point. I might go four, but there's a lot of other good prospects in this organization that I don't think should be untouchable.
Well, that's, I think, the main thing is that you can't, they don't have anybody that, if you were to give them up, necessarily sets the organization back several years, right? I mean,
right.
Do you really think that if they were to lose, at this point, Reyes has turned into, he's not a bust yet because he's still young and he still has an opportunity to come back, but the guy has not been able to contribute. And I know that's really the nature of prospects. You're just going to have to wait on them. But they don't have anybody that, to me, that if they were to lose right now, their organization is going to play catch-up for the next 5 to 10 years as a result of it. They might have to go outside the organization to improve their stock, to improve what they are as a team. I do not feel attached to any of the guys they have. However, Kisner, you mentioned him, BT. That's one guy I would really like to not, because finding a catcher is sort of a difficult. A starting catcher is a really difficult thing to do. And if that's who they believe their guy is, you don't want to lose that, because
you traded Kelly because you thought that you had somebody there. Not to say you can't develop another one and then trade Kisner just like you did, but you better have somebody else.
You got to have the right deal, and you have to get somebody who can take that spot if you were to deal him. So there's nobody I'm attached to so much that I feel like if they let this person go, that's a really bad thing for them.
By the way, not to totally shift gears here, but I want to just for a second, because I get caught up sometimes reading the text line. Did I miss a conversation about Anthony Stalter's house? Is it haunted?
Yeah, he's got ghosts.
He's got ghosts in his house?
Okay, so he's got the baby monitor.
Okay.
And he says every single night when they set the monitor up and they center it directly on his son, every single day when they wake up, the monitor has moved to the closet.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So we get a text from the 636 that says, I'm the lead investigator for a local paranormal team. It's DNM Paranormal. We're experienced, have lots of equipment, and would love to investigate Anthony Stalter's home.
Who are you going to call?
At no charge.
No charge.
DNM Paranormal is who I'm going to call.
Yeah.
Apparently.
So hopefully Stalter's listening, because somebody's willing to
investigate.
Yeah,
I took a picture of it, and I'm going to send it to him.
Okay.
So he might be getting in touch. I did not know that.
Yeah.
And I think we'll be having the Stalters over our place more.
You don't want to go there.
Then heading that way.
Well, you know what? BT, you're one of them, okay? So you don't have
one
to...
One of who?
Ghosts.
I'm not a ghost. I'm scared of ghosts, too.
Don't you go by Casper?
I used to. Milky, whitey, pasty. Look, it's summertime. Look at this. Cinnamon, baby.
Those dots are connected.
That's right. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, Stalter's got a ghost in his house.
I missed a story. I missed a ghost story, and I really wanted in on that.
Yep, he's nervous.
Spur the friendly ghost, the friendliest ghost you know.
God, I'm having flashbacks. He always says hello.
Hello.
And he gave up lots of home runs.
Is this a flashback to Somerset?
This is Somerset.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Somerset.
Somerset, New Jersey. I have a Somerset Patriots shirt. Thank you very
really
much, BT.
I enjoyed the Somerset Patriots. I like that place. Numbers didn't look so good, but
Bridgeport was kind of the blue fish, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
Yeah,
was now where it was at.
Well, here's to tell you about the Bridgeport blue fish. They're gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the stadium's been knocked down and everything.
It's not a good day for them.
And it looked like it was knocked down beforehand. So,
Another text.
That's what happens when they get rid of you.
Spirit, here's the text. So I know that your alternate idea was to just have Anthony and his family come to your house instead.
Correct, yeah, safer.
Spirits can travel with Anthony and his family, just so you know, Brad.
How the hell do you know?
Yeah, that's what the text says. And that texter is correct. They can attach themselves to people or to objects.
How do you know?
I watch a lot of ghost adventures.
Do you really?
Yeah, I love it.
They can attach themselves?
Yep.
So Another question. So if they can attach themselves and go with, can they stay wherever that family, so the family can leave and then they can stay at a new house?
That's right.
So they can live wherever the hell they want?
That's right.
No.
How cool is that?
Yeah, well, sorry about them invitations that I just faked throughout.
By the way, one other baseball note. We learned last week that the shooting of David Ortiz 2 weeks ago was a misidentification. The one person in the Dominican Republic that couldn't recognize David Ortiz shot him. Uh-huh. Today, the mastermind of that failed shooting was arrested.
Yeah, that seems right.
He must
be
brilliant.
Wrong, that is the wrong word to use in this. The mastermind.
I think so.
He was wearing white pants. Apparently, the Sixto guy that they were trying to off is like half of David Ortiz's size.
But they were both wearing white pants.
Guys, I don't know about you, but I blame the players and not the manager. You know what I mean? That guy, the shooter needs to know what David Ortiz looks like.
I would say so.
Yeah. So I can't blame the manager for that. I can't blame the mastermind.
I don't know.
Although you do have to put people in a position
to succeed, don't you?
Well,
at least he was wearing white pants before Labor Day. So they've got that going on. Isn't that a fashion rule?
I don't think that rule exists anymore.
Is that gone?
Yeah, I think it's out.
I think in the Dominican it's still a thing.
I don't have any white pants, no. Because, I mean, obviously for me, I
have red jeans.
I know you do, buddy.
But I don't have any white
pants.
Yeah. I don't have any white pants. I once had white pants, white corduroys back in my younger days when I was really
young. Fire?
Yeah. Yeah. When they were in style.
Randy's coming down the hall.
There he is.
Next up in the fast lane, Blues Poho and GM Doug Armstrong was with us yesterday to talk about the Carl Gunnarsson contract and the team's plans for the offseason. We'll hear his thoughts next on 101 ESPN. That was Blues Poho and General Manager Doug Armstrong yesterday here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We asked him, aside from winning Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, what his most memorable aspect of the team was. Because in the press conference the day before, he said it was when they played the Rangers and the Islanders and lost both games but played really well. And he said he went home driving home, and he felt good, even about the losses, because the team was cooking and it was playing well. But he said the thing he remembers most, obviously, is the resiliency. And I'd never heard that he got together with the leadership group and they asked that he keep the team together and not bail out on the season.
Well, that worked out.
Yeah.
That worked out pretty darn well. Sometimes you have to have something that points you in the right direction. I remember leading up to this, and I don't know if we talked to Army specifically or we were just talking about it. The team will tell you what they need, and the group will tell you kind of which way to go. Now, it's not specifics, but it's, hey, are we adding to this? Hey, are we subtracting from this, or are we standing pat and believe in this group? And a lot of things happen where they were able to do this. Had they gone off on another tangent and had that roller coaster downhill just for a couple of games, maybe that would have changed everything, but they didn't.
They were fully prepared. They were prepared to, and I don't know if tear down is the right word, but they were going to be open for business in the other direction, letting assets go. That's how close we were to this not happening. So even, and I was just thinking about this the other day, that when a season and a team like the Blues ends up the way they did, where they were down as far as they were in January and really the early part of the year, and then they pick it up and they win the cup, how you will have some people who go, you didn't believe in them back then. Well, you know what? The front office almost didn't believe in them either. So it was a very rational thing to do, to look at the team, the way they were playing, look at how far they would have had to come to get themselves back into playoff contention, and think it's not going to happen, so let's adjust. But they went on a tear. But this team was very, very close to not staying together.
Yeah. More than any other sport, at least in my opinion, hockey lends itself to providing success with a coaching change. Because I think in hockey, and yes, the Blues had Ryan O'Reilly win the Selke Trophy, but they didn't have any Hart Trophy candidates. They didn't have a 100-point score. They didn't have a Norris Trophy defenseman. They did have a great goaltending. Hockey, to me, is a sport that you can win with system. If you have the right system and the right group of players to play that system. And Army said yesterday that this kind of reminded him of 2011 when he hired Ken Hitchcock.
When you look back in Blues history, it's eerily similar to what Ken Hitchcock did when he came in here. That year, I think we were in the same spot. Ken came in. I think we ended up winning the division that year, and that was sort of the birth of our that era. And so I saw a lot of similarities on how Ken was able to come in and turn a group and get it directed in one and move forward in a positive direction, just as Craig was able to do that this year with this group. You know, we didn't make many player changes that year when Hitch was here, and the major player change obviously was Binnington coming in and playing the way he did. So there's a lot of similarities, and quite honestly, a lot of similarities in the coaches and the way that they prepare and how professional and how they go about their business.
And at the time that they were hired in that first year, got players to, overused term, buy in. And this group of players clearly wasn't buying into what Mike Yeo was selling and did with Berube.
It's working. Or it was working. They had it going. And sometimes you do need the new voice. Sometimes you have to change things, do things a different way. And I do believe that there is added value in the fact that Craig Berube had a great pulse on this team.
Yeah.
I mean, he was around him every day. He had relationships already. And I think that any coach probably does this. If you have aspirations of potentially being the head guy ever, you're looking at where things are going right and where things are going wrong. And you're making a mental checklist of, if in fact this was your gig, what would you change? What things would you do a little bit differently? And he did things differently, and the guys responded in kind.
I mean, I don't believe Craig Berube came in and said, we're going to win the cup. I mean, I don't think he was even – you always have that hope, right? If you're a member of the team or a coach and you come in and there's a shakeup, you hope that everything goes really well and you get to that point. But I guarantee they didn't really think this was going to happen the way it did. The only thing you can do is come in – and individually create relationships with everybody, tell them, look, I believe in you as a player, and then hope everybody plays their game the way they should be playing their game, and then see what happens. And the best possible result occurred. But there's no question about the fact he is clearly a player's coach. They respect him. They like him. And it helped get him to where they finally did go.
Doug Armstrong, what about the power play?
Well, that's going to be Craig and his staff are going to have to sit down here and come up with a formula where our power play did finish in the top 10 in the regular season. And it went dry, obviously, at the end of the San Jose series and the Boston series. You have to credit Boston's penalty kill. I think they held Carolina to one power play goal also. So it's you don't want to overreact to it being poor for that one stretch. But I think, obviously, I view Colton Parenko as a true weapon on that power play, but he has to be able to get that shot off with more regularity and quicker. And you know, there's things that we can do to make that power play work, and that's up to the coaches to come up with a formula where we get consistent goal scoring.
And I wonder if the Blues bring in another assistant. They never did replace Craig Berube, who was an assistant, and I wonder if they might bring in some sort of a power play guru.
Why? I guess why wouldn't you? I mean, at this point, I would assume that you would have a little bit of financial flexibility to bring somebody else in, certainly more than you had the previous year, and you still have a need. And that is the thing, and I know that this won't happen. You don't just win a Stanley Cup, and I don't mean to say just win a Stanley Cup lightly. You don't win a Stanley Cup, though, and just go into next season and say, we got it all figured out.
Like, right.
We're the
How
champions.
How can we get better?
Exactly. And that is one glaring thing when you looked at it. And it wasn't just throughout the postseason and not just in the playoffs against Boston. It was the whole time. The whole year, that was an area where they could have been better and better.
And allowed four shorthanded goals during the playoffs.
Yes, it's amazing.
It's not ideal.
I'm telling you guys, and everybody knows this. This is nothing groundbreaking. It is amazing this team won the cup with the special teams the way it was in the playoffs.
Now,
that is so freaking hard to do.
Gunnarsson is back. Pat Maroon is out there as a UFA. And we asked Doug Armstrong how much turnover there will be.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect much. This group came together, and because of just the way our contracts are slotted, we don't have a lot of unrestricted free agents this year. So it's not something where externally they're going to leave. There's like, you know, four or five players that are going to be able to go outside and unrestricted free agency. So we've qualified our players. There's a lot of room for growth internally, and that's what we want to make sure that the Sanfords and Blazes and Barbashevs and Sundquist had the ability to keep moving up that lineup and pushing, and Robbie Thomas is another player. And we have a couple of players that we want to see how their summer goes, at Jordan Kyrou, Mikola, a young defenseman. So there's some players that we want to see push, but the majority of this group is going to be back, you know, as I said, 90, 95 to 100%. You never know with Patty there. We're going to keep the lines of communication open. So we're not, there's not going to be a lot of change.
95 to 100%. So you'll see the same group on October 2nd against Washington that you saw against the Bruins in Game 7.
Well, the contracts worked out pretty well. I was just thinking, and it doesn't affect this team very much with 95%, but I was thinking about how much easier it might be, and I'm not saying easier to construct your team, because with the cap, like it makes it very difficult, but how much easier it is to maybe appease a fan base when you are putting together a team, when you do have a ceiling. So it's like, look, we couldn't do this. Or, you know, there's a guy out there, we really couldn't do it. There's no way. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about that opposed to baseball. It's like, well, you didn't do that.
Right.
Oh, we couldn't.
Because
you could have.
Yes. There's nothing stopping you in baseball. So I totally understand that idea, especially after you just win the Stanley Cup. It's going to be really hard. And I can't imagine there are very many people here in St. Louis that will gripe with how the team is put together for 2019.
No, I think you got a grace period.
Well, mm-hmm. You do get a grace period.
And a good
team.
You have
to. You have to. I mean, I think you can expect them to try and improve wherever they can, knowing that it's, you know, you have to be realistic about it because there is a salary cap. And like you said, if this was baseball, just keep spending on top of what you're already doing and just keep pushing and try to make the team you have better for next year. And I know they're going to do that, but there's a limit to what they can do. So I don't think people are going to demand they do something else or be upset with the way the team is put together for the 2020 season.
How could you be upset by a team that's...
You can't.
Stanley Cup
you
champion?
Can't. No. I mean, the only expectation I have for them is be competitive again next year. Get back into the playoffs. I do not realistically expect them to win the Cup again. If they do it, hey, aces, but I don't expect it.
I'm with you.
I have a question, not from the fan base, because I believe it's going to be there, and I believe that people in Enterprise will use it during games and after games. Do you believe the team uses Gloria at all next year?
I would the opener.
I bet that's it.
I think
they
done.
Tire of it a
yeah.
bit. Yeah.
Like you have to. You retire it as a team. Yep. Everybody yeah. else is going to use it. You retire it.
Do you bring back the power play dance that obviously failed during the postseason?
I would say no.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a hard no on
yeah,
that,
Yeah, I mean,
too.
We've been hard no on that for
sponsor,
a long time.
We can come mm-hmm. up with something else.
There's got to be something else.
Coming up next in the Fast Lane, the Cardinals are in San Diego tonight after a day off yesterday. So after 2 days off, the Cardinals are back in and playing. We're going to look ahead to tonight's late start and BT's late night. Next in your Hot Topics on 101 ESPN. All right, if you're DVRing the USA-France World Cup soccer game, turn your radio down because we're going to give you a score. 10 seconds, and then you can turn it back up. 78th minute, Megan Rapinoe has 2 goals, and the USA leads by a score of 2-0 at France tonight. Okay, turn your radio back up.
5-0? Are you kidding me?
BT. Oh, 5-0, that's an offensive outburst, man.
That is my fault. But I didn't tell you which way.
You did not.
USA, USA.
Hey, the Cardinals are back playing tonight. It's kind of like the Blues thing, you know, when we were saying the Blues are back in action.
Hey, in action?
Yeah,
like one word?
A lot of inaction.
I guess if you don't like it, play better. I mean,
guys, can I go back to something for just a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Do you like DVRing sports?
I would like it better if I didn't have a cell phone that and I know that this is 100% my fault, that I check way too often and I get updates mm-hmm. anytime something big happens. I think I would like it better. I think I would be able to sit at home and watch something, not knowing it's not in real time, had I not have this
okay.
thing attached to me all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird for me because if I know something is over, you know, and it's been over for several
Why
hours.
Why am I going to dedicate a couple of
yeah,
hours
just,
to it?
I don't know. It's weird
because
to
you're
me.
Into it, I guess. I, honestly, yeah. I can't think of the last time that I really did that. Like, I'll video or I'll DVR a bunch of stuff, but a lot of times I just go back and watch like key pieces.
Right.
Of
right. Like, I like to go back, and if there's a specific moment in a game, then I can look at that. But
I don't generally sit down
live,
with a beer and be like, all right,
yeah,
here
let's
we
see
go.
What happens. Yeah,
I still have Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final on my DVR.
I do too.
Well, that's different. It's like you want to relive certain moments. But watching it as if it's live, it's just a weird thing for me.
Cardinals are at San Diego tonight. Waka against Lauer, 9:10 is the start time. BT will be at Fox Sports Midwest Studios at Ballpark Village for pre- and post-game.
Yeah.
So make sure you tune in afterwards.
Oh, certainly afterwards. Especially, I mean, if you are out late and then you get home, tune into Fox Sports Midwest. If you have trouble sleeping, we could help you with that too, maybe. It'll be me and Jim Hayes tonight. We're going to have a good time.
Well,
I think
great.
The goal for tonight is for the game to last so long that the entire Ballpark Village closes except for your studio.
Oh, that's going to happen.
No.
That generally happens. Yeah. Walking out of there at 2 in the morning is fun.
The like Cubs, even PBR closing. That's
Cubs
a 3 o'clock bar.
Open a three-game series at Cincinnati. It'll be Cole Hamels against Sonny Gray in that one. Yesterday, Craig Kimbrel made his debut for the Cubs in a 9-7 win over his former team, the Braves. Yeah.
Craig.
Thanks, big boy.
Craig
Kimbrel. I thought he was still available and the Cardinals were having conversations
with
him.
Well, the Cardinals, I don't think, had conversations because the Cubs swooped in and got him right when the draft happened, so they didn't have to give anything up in exchange for him, except for 3 years and $45 million or whatever.
At that point, the Cardinals did have a guy at the back of the bullpen that was throwing 105 miles an hour. Things change.
Yeah, they do.
Things change.
Coming up at 5:15, we'll have Schilt Happens. Use your mic drop feature on the 101 ESPN app. What bad things have happened to you lately? Join the party and blame it on Mike Schilt. Leave your Schilt Happens mic drops now on the 101 ESPN app.
Right. That was a texter idea from yesterday. So
it's good.
I do hope in a couple of weeks we can do That's Good Schilt again.
Yeah, me too.
Hopefully.
Whoa! Wow!
I thought you were confident. Yeah.
Authorities in the Dominican Republic have arrested the quote-unquote mastermind behind the shooting of David Ortiz, although they got the wrong guy, apparently.
Always happens.
An apparent case, they're saying, of mistaken identity.
Yeah, but the only problem with this is that the guy that apparently he was trying to kill, he's half the size of Big Poppy.
Yeah.
If the mastermind is, I just don't understand how you do this. I don't understand how you don't understand who Big Poppy is, and you don't get that the guy you're supposed to shoot is a different guy. There should be no mastermind in this. There was some dummy with a gun and somebody that gave him $7,800. That's all there is.
David Ortiz is arguably the most famous person in that country.
Yes. Everyone knows David Ortiz.
How do you not know what he looks like?
I don't know. I still don't believe this, by the way. I still believe that they were fully trying to get Big Poppy.
Yeah, I do.
You don't
mess up like that.
But the Dominican Republic is trying their best to be like, no, we try to kill other people, not our famous people.
As I said, most famous guy in the country, he gets a little pull. And he gets shot sometimes.
Well, that's what got him into this, apparently.
Oh, okay. Pulling?
Maybe.
Allegedly. That's allegedly.
That's first story I read.
Basketball report that the Warriors are preparing a max offer for Klay Thompson to stay there. He has a torn ACL. Wouldn't be back until about March, maybe April of next year, if they're in it. But Klay Thompson apparently will be offered the max that is allowed under league rules by the Golden State Warriors. And we mentioned earlier that the Cardinals don't have any players in the All-Star game, any starters in the All-Star game. Well, guys, let's check how their system is doing. How are they doing with that Futures game?
Nolan Gorman? I'm guessing.
No pitchers. No catchers.
I bet they have a third baseman.
Infielders. Yeah, there's Nolan Gorman.
Yeah, buddy.
And Dylan Carlson is in the game, too.
Good.
So they've got a couple of guys, and you can see that on MLB Network on Sunday. Greg Amzinger will have the call.
Yeah, that's good. So this is the first time since the All-Star game started 1933 that the Cardinals have had 3 years without a starter.
Wow.
In the game.
That's a statistic.
It is, right?
Yeah, not great.
No. Let's not make it four.
We need to pick things up here.
So, really, even with the strength within the division, or not even within the division, but within the league at first base, I really thought that Goldschmidt was going to be an all-star.
I did too.
I thought that was going to be, if not a shoe-in, he's going to be in the voting, and it's going to be a battle. And ain't the case.
Yeah, I mean, if he's anything close to what he typically does, you know Cardinals fans are going to vote him in, right? You know that's going to happen. And we talked about this at the very beginning of the show. It's not so much about them not having All-Stars. I don't get as worked up about All-Stars as I did when I was a kid. I think it was more fun then to see your players play against American League teams, and now it's different because you've got interleague. So I don't really get that worked up about it. But it's an indication that things aren't going great.
Right. And that's, if you have really five All-Stars, then you know you're really, really good.
Correct. It's very difficult to have multiple All-Stars and be a crappy team.
Speaking of as a kid watching that, have you guys had the opportunity to see the video yet of the little kid that was watching the All-Star voting thing, the starters come down, when Ketel Marte got selected? You got to look it up. Like, this kid is, I would guess he's like 7, 8, 9 years old, somewhere around there, and he's watching the TV. And his parents are videotaping him, and he loses his mind. He's like crying. He's so happy. That's the coolest thing ever, to have that connection, because we need more of that. We need more of a little kid that's bought in, that loves his baseball. I was digging it. I was happy for him.
The only video I've seen today is somebody who took a bunch of baseball players from Baseball Reference.
Okay.
You have to watch it. It's very difficult to describe.
Oh, I'm saying
Lose Yourself from Eminem.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
With the last names?
I haven't seen that one. I saw another song, and I forget what it was.
It is super weird, but I don't know how. This dude must have spent a lot of time doing it.
I think I heard the Star-Spangled Banner with players' names.
Hmm. Yeah, go check that out.
Those are your Hot Topics of the Day on 101 ESPN. Coming up, how much can a title change the storyline in a professional athlete's career? We'll take a look at how the Stanley Cup has impacted multiple Blues players next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. How has a Stanley Cup championship changed the storyline for Blues players? Obviously, Craig Berube and Jordan Binnington are going to have their storylines and career arcs changed by winning the Stanley Cup. But how about a guy like Alexander Steen? He's been here for 11 years. He's often one of the guys mentioned when things come up in the locker room. And his fourth line did step up a lot in the playoffs, late in the playoff run. Craig Berube mentioned just how important that line was.
Been a good role guy for us for all year, penalty killer and shutdown guy. You know, he's out there at the end of game shutting the other team down with the goalie out or in defensive situations. But the line of Sundquist, Barbashev, and Steen have been really good since we put it together. They provide a lot of energy and they have good chemistry together, and they just forecheck and work hard, and they're getting us some secondary scoring, which is nice.
Steiner has always been a top six, top nine forward, and he was placed on what we in the media and as fans deem the fourth line. One time late in the season, he was asked about playing on the fourth line. He said, well, what's the fourth line? As if they didn't look at themselves as the fourth line. And I think that probably allowed him maybe mentally to buy in. Yeah, to buy into that role. And I think that's one guy that Craig Berube had an impact on.
I was just going to say, I think that he might be the guy that changed the most.
Yeah.
When Craig Berube took over. And it just goes back to the accountability to a man is, look, we've all got, every one of us has a job, and we have to do our job at the best of our abilities, and you can't let any of the other BS get in the way. So either you fall in line or you get out of the way, and he was able to fall right in line, and not just fall in line. I mean, he was able to do some great things, and whether you want to call it the fourth line or just the line that gets out there whenever they get out there.
The energy
because
line.
We'll go with the energy line. That works, too. They got it together, and Steen changed the way, I think, pretty much everybody thought about him throughout the year.
Well, he's one of the guys. I think Braden Schenn is another one getting a position, moving positions. It wasn't like his playing time was taken away from him, but he was moved to a wing, and that's not something he really wanted to do. He bought into it. And I guess that as a player, maybe you're upset about being pushed down to a line you don't believe you should be on for contract reasons. You know, maybe you're worried about a payday later on, and when it's negotiation time, it's like, what are we going to do? Give you your fourth liner. We're going to give you the kind of money you want. But other than that, as long as it works for the team, as long as you're winning, as long as you can see the results, and I think that's probably the most important thing here, is that now all of these guys and whoever comes into the fold for next year, young players most likely, They have seen that the formula works.
Yep.
They have seen that the buy-in works. And now that that buy-in has gotten you a Stanley Cup, it's very difficult for you to push back against that buy-in.
2 years ago, Alex Pietrangelo was the Blues' best skater in the playoffs. This year, he was third on the team in playoff scoring, had 19 points behind only Ryan O'Reilly and Jaden Schwartz. He led the team with 16 assists. He was stellar defensively. He led skaters in average ice time per game at 25-45. And I would hope that the perception around town of Alex Pietrangelo as a legitimate big-time player has changed. He's been perceived around the league as that for a long time, and I would hope now that people had a chance to see what he was able to do during a Stanley Cup run, I hope that Blues fans have a better appreciation for what this guy is.
Well, I agree, but there were, at the beginning of the year, you also understood why people were saying the things that they were. I mean, he didn't look good. He looked slow. He looked like he was off, and things weren't working, but it just goes back to the talking point of, the season is long. Like, there is a lot that goes into it, and just because you have a little time of downs doesn't mean you can't be right back up again. And he was, and they were. And there's a reason that he wears the C. There's a reason that he's represented. He's been in the league as long as he has. He has the contract that he has, and he's had the success that he has had throughout his career because he's a good player.
The only criticism I have of his game is stuff that happened during the playoffs a handful of times, mishandling the puck, you know, turning it over in your own zone, and that can lead to a goal. But by and large, that dude's game is really, really good. And maybe throughout the regular season, we did not appreciate it as much as we should have appreciated it, but they don't win a Stanley Cup without him.
And it's really hard to play 26 minutes a game through four rounds, play more playoff games than any team has ever played, and not make a mistake.
Right. So that's the kind of stuff you're just going to have to live with. There isn't a perfect player out there, and that's pretty much what we're getting at. I can live, and I can be frustrated in those moments, and I will continue to be if they happen, but overall, and overwhelmingly overall, that dude is a really good player.
And then you think about a guy like Pat Maroon, who was a healthy scratch four times earlier this season by January 10th, and there was talk that the Blues might get rid of him after the big rig bobblehead night, but he becomes a key to what Craig Berube wants to do because he plays that Craig Berube style of hockey. He scores the double overtime goal, winning the series against the Stars. He is an instigator in the playoffs. He's always smiling and getting under the skin of the other team and showed us what he is. That's what a power forward should do in the playoffs, and he did it.
No matter what happens this offseason with Patty Maroon, whether they bring him back or not, he will go down in Blues history for what he did. But you're right, it's amazing how it almost didn't get to that point because that was a conversation. It's like, you know what, it was a great story. He took less money, wanted to be home, wanted to be around the family, wanted to be with his hometown Blues, but just ain't working out. Like, just doesn't look good. The scratches, as you mentioned, all of the trade talk beforehand, as soon as the contract would allow it, it seemed like at the time, it's like, this kind of makes sense. And the team started playing a little bit better. Maroon started doing the things that he was supposed to be doing, and the rest is history.
And for long stretches, even in the playoffs, he was on one of the most fun lines to watch.
Yeah.
We couldn't have asked for anything more from him this year. And that is the amazing thing, bringing up what happened earlier in the year, is it looks like that signing was going to be, and I don't want to call it a bust because they didn't commit a ton of money to him. He took less than he probably could have gotten somewhere else just so he could come and play here. But it looked like it was going to be a nothing signing, and it ended up being fantastic for them.
So a lot of storyline changes for the Blues as they win the Stanley Cup. If you have DVR'd the USA women's soccer game, we want you to turn your radio down. We're going to give you a result here, so turn your radio down now, and we will tell you that the USA has advanced to the semifinals with a 2-1 win over France. Megan Rapinoe with both goals as the USA advances. Okay, turn your radio up. All right, there you go.
I love that so much.
Wow. There you go. So watch it on your DVR if you were DVRing it. And hopefully you'll enjoy the action, if not the result.
Pretend like it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, do that. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, and it's Friday, so we've got a new fighter coming up in the 4 o'clock fight on 101 ESPN.